I think make it a priority. Like your groups has to be a priority within your church, because if you don't, you're going to have a back door. And that's what we saw in our church, when it wasn't like, you can have groups, but if you're not making them a priority, you're not going to see kind of the growth areas that the Lord really wants for you as a church. And once we made our small groups a priority, we started to see our church grow spiritually. We started to see our church grow numerically. We started to see our church grow in even just our finances grow. And so like all these like specific growth areas and just even involvement and having volunteers spread out throughout the church, like all of that kind of that those healthy grow areas kind of exist with a healthy small group ministry, that no other ministry in the church can kind of produce those results. And again, I think it goes back to that's when we be the church.
This is the Build Groups podcast, where we equip and resource group leaders and pastors in the local church to make disciples with one another together. My name is Adam Ehrlichman, your host. Here we go. Welcome back to another episode with the Build Groups podcast. My name is Adam, your host. And with us today, we've got a great guest who is not far down the road from where I am. I am very excited for you guys to get to hear about his ministry and what he's doing in his group's ministry and discipleship as an associate pastor at Gateway Community Church in Wylie, Texas. That's the East Dallas area. And before we get going, man, Matt, co-host, man, how are you doing today? What's going on?
I'm doing great, man. Met with a group of guys this morning and got rejuvenated just spending time with them, going through the word. And so that was fun, but looking forward to meeting with Stephen today and discussing groups.
Absolutely. I met with a group of guys this morning today. I think before you do a small group podcast episode, you have to meet with some people and do a group.
Just so you can brag about it.
Right. Yeah, just so I did as well.
The trifecta.
Great for three, man. We're doing well.
It's
triune. That's great.
That's perfect. That's perfect. So, okay, we've all hit the pre-qualifier to be able to record this episode. Excited about that. Guys, we're here because we seek to help equip you and resource you and spark, start, and spur on thought trails that don't answer maybe all your questions in this episode, but get you going down the road of some things you need to consider and think about that maybe you hadn't prior and you wouldn't have if you hadn't listened to this. And so that's what we're hoping to do, and give you some different perspective of people that we're interviewing on here and their ministry and their background. And so let's do this. We want to start with learning more a little bit about you, Stephen. This is Stephen Pollitt.
Yeah.
Gateway Community Church in Wylie. Man, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah. Again, my name's Stephen, and I've been married a little bit over 12 years to my wife, Natalie, and we have twin boys who just turned 9 years old on us a couple days ago. And I have a little girl, Carly, who's four. And so I feel like I'm a taxi service, riding them around to baseball and softball. And it's a new season of life for us and all that. But, you know, that's my family. And we love serving here in Wylie. We've been in the community for about 11 years. So we've been here, you know, a lot of our marriage, had kids here, and it's just been neat seeing them grow and now being involved in other people's life in the community as well.
Awesome. I love, man, what's one hobby that you have, Stephen, like outside of work, outside of ministry, like what's a hobby?
Man, I love to play golf. Like I'm ready for spring weather. I'm ready to get back out on the golf course. Like I played in December. We had like one really nice day and I got to play. So like I've got the itch. It's been a couple months. So I'm ready to get back out there.
I feel like there's different levels of golfers. Are you like the pro?
No.
Are you like real novice? I like to tell people I don't make a fool of myself on the golf course, but I'm not good.
Yeah.
So like where do you find yourself?
I would never call myself good. I'm just good enough to go play again. You know, like, maybe I can get better if I play again.
That's great. That is such an honest, just great assessment statement right there.
I'm
Which probably means he's pretty good, Adam. Probably what it means, that he's pretty good.
It means, you know? I would pick you up on my best ball team, is what that means.
Well, I might make a putt or two. Outside of that, it's you better have some ringers on there.
Hey, I hear you. I hear you. I'm definitely not the ringer. I was the ringer one time on a best ball team, and man, were they sorely surprised, right? So,
yeah,
man. So, hey, tell us a little bit about your ministry, the associate pastor. You know, what do you oversee? What does that entail? Your responsibilities, quick oversight or just a highlight of all that overview. And then I want to hear a little bit after that, more in depth about your group's ministry and, you know, the type of groups you're doing, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I stepped into this role. You know, I was our church's first full-time student pastor, and did that for years here and saw a need to really kind of get our adults, especially our parents of teenagers, plugged into small group and community, and had a passion for that and stepped into the discipleship role. And that's molded into the associate pastor role. So essentially what that means is, like, I'm on the executive team here at our church. So with our senior pastor, our executive pastor, and myself, to kind of do staff oversight and staff training. And I mean, I don't know if y'all feel like this, but like I've gone through this weird transformation where I'm no longer the young guy on staff, where I'm used to being the young dude. Now our student pastor, our children's minister, all their associates and admins and all that stuff are all in their 20s. And so a lot of my role has been kind of just encouragement and just trying to think through some like training things, because I want them to have longevity in ministry as well. But then groups is really my primary focus and getting people plugged into biblical.
Gotcha. So, man, break down for us, just for contextual purposes for our audience and the listeners here, so they can kind of take some of the principles that you're going to put out there and the practices, so they can kind of properly place them based on their context, their group's purposes, their church size, right? All of those things. Man, what type of groups do you guys have? Are they on or off campus? How many do you have? How many leaders? How many people are in group percentage-wise versus in the worship service on Sunday mornings? What are, just give us a breakdown there.
Yeah, absolutely. So our we call our groups connect groups because we want to get people connected. And we have about a little bit over 60% participation in our connect group ministry compared to our Sunday morning attendance. And that's like slowly been a progression, because where we started, when we started our connect group ministry, we had a huge back door in our church. We had not a whole lot of involvement in our small groups. We had some small groups that were meeting. And so the first challenge that I faced is like, do we have them in homes? Do we have them on Sunday morning? We didn't have a property that could host like a Sunday school type model to have a whole lot of Sunday morning groups. And that model really wasn't going to fit us in our context anyway. And so I started really kind of praying through what we needed to have. And so we have our cadet groups. We have them on Sunday mornings during two of our services, but we also have them during the week as well. And so essentially our cadet groups that meet on property on a Sunday morning, our community groups, they just use some of our rooms. They use some of our space. I write a curriculum each week that's based off of our sermon that we give out to all of our small group leaders. And so they're primarily facilitators and walking through some of the questions. Not all of our groups use that. They're able to kind of pick different studies or book studies or things that they want to do, but primarily they go through that.
Yeah.
And so it's challenging to do both and to have the same culture and to be able to, because you have time constraints on Sunday that you don't have during the week. There's all these different challenges that came with it, but we wanted to remove any hurdles that would stop anybody from being in small group. And our primary reach is people with children in the home. And we realized Sunday morning needed to be an option for those families that just wouldn't be able to make during the week work, whether they're commuting from work and things like that. So we try to remove some of those hurdles by providing both. And so it's been really neat to see that it's added an extra layer of like complexity and work, but the payoff on the other end's been really, really neat.
Yeah, I love that, because awesome. A lot of times what you'll see is young families are sort of this, man, we don't want Sunday school. We don't want to, you know, we want to be in the home. We want that intimacy. We want that, you know, right. real relationship. And then to look at your context and go, hey, a lot of our people are young families, and the pinch point for them to do group and have opportunity to build biblical community is childcare. And
yeah.
to say, well, then let's offer it Sunday morning. There is a volunteer crisis in the church today. What are you doing about it? Build Groups Coaching and Consulting helps churches build a custom, discover, develop, and deploy new volunteers and leaders process to increase your volunteer base by 30 to 50% in 6 to 12 months. We do this with churches over and over again, all shapes and sizes, all across the country. To learn more about how we can change your ministry world, deepen your bench so that you never feel the pinch or pain of not having enough volunteers or leaders in your ministry again, go to buildgroups.net/consult. And so how what have you guys seen as far as a response from young families in your church with that? Have they grabbed a hold of that, or are your rooms full and packed, or is it like 50-50 on and off campus? Like, what's that dynamic?
Yeah, it's been pretty neat, and just being able to, we just launched a new young families connect group that meets in the homes over this past year. We have a few groups that are meeting on Sunday morning as well. And it's really neat. The groups that are meeting on Sunday morning, we have one primarily that is like, they're elbow to elbow. Their room is full, but they took this focus on, we're going to be Sunday morning. We don't want to be in a Sunday school. And the only thing that's going to make it not feel like a Sunday school is we're going to serve together. We're going to fellowship together well. And so they did those things intentionally, and it led to group growth. And then the new group that we launched that meets in homes, you know, they're facing the challenge right now is that they have like double the amount of kids in this home than there are adults, because, you know, they're all bringing three kids into this thing. And so we're trying to navigate that. But the growth was a little bit more like the intentionality didn't have to be there as much, because those things kind of happen within the home. But both of them are growing. Both of them are thriving. It's just the things that you have to be intentional about are a little bit different.
Sure, sure. So it sounds like many of your people have taken you guys up on that offer on Sunday morning, saying, yes, this yeah. works for our family.
Well, you coach baseball, and you have boys in sports and working and things like that. And that's what a lot of our families that have elementary kids, you know, there's three nights a week in sports, and, you know, they're commuting from work and doing all these things. And so they took us up on the offer of like Sunday morning allows us to make this obtainable. And then when we have fellowships and we have service opportunities, yes. things that I can put on my calendar and I can plan for, we're going to be a part of those things. And we've seen that work extremely well. And so again, just having both contexts, there hasn't been a plus or a negative in either one. Again, it's just been the, like, if you're going into Sunday morning, you know, make sure like intentionality is key.
Man, that's great. I love you used the word about four times, intentionality, and I love it.
Yes.
I think that's a big part of leading a small groups ministry and leading a group, right? Like, how intentional are you with your people? So when you think of intentionality and the purpose of your groups in your church, like, how would you communicate this to somebody? Man, what's the purpose of the small group ministry in your church?
Yeah, the purpose and the kind of the overarching thing is like one of our elders says this often, that church exists in the context of a small group and in a connect group, that if you're just relying on the Sunday morning experience, you're not going to be left fully fulfilled in what the intention of Acts 2, of us breaking bread together, being together, taking care of each other's needs. It's hard to find those out in a Sunday morning worship service. But you find those things out in the mode of small group and being in biblical community together. And we just kind of live by that of like church really happens in small groups. And that's what we tell people that are guests that are coming in You know, you can find out a lot about our church by showing up on Sunday morning, but where you're going to be the church is going to be in a small group.
Great. That's great. So you mentioned you're doing sermon-based discussions and you write something. Was there anything you want to, like, what's the intentionality behind that with what you're trying to do in your groups?
When I took over a small group ministry, the few small groups that we had were struggling because it was left up to the leader to find curriculum. What should I teach? And that was the biggest stress on their shoulders of like, what am I going to teach all the time? This 6-week curriculum's done. What's the next thing? And so they couldn't focus on building relationships. They couldn't focus on serving together. They couldn't focus on the things that I want them to focus on if they were trying to come up with curriculum and things to teach. And I also saw that as a barrier to, you know, raising up a teacher and raising up a facilitator. There's two very different challenges. And like somebody that has a heart for people can facilitate some questions. And then gives me the time to be able to maybe build a teacher out of them or a different connect group leader to be able to build that teacher out of them. And so primarily it became something that, if they're going to focus on what we really want them to focus on, I don't want them spending time Google searching curriculum. And so we put it out there, but it was a hassle and a pain for me at first, because I was spending hours trying to, okay, what direction is my pastor going? What's the text? What questions do the small groups need to find? And I found a resource that's smallgroup.com, and Lifeway just purchased them in the past couple of years. And it's small group pastors write curriculum and they upload it to this website, and it's all Word document. And so I can type in our theme or I can type in our text. Other stuff comes up that's all editable. So I can add my own questions that go into our context, and I can take out questions that don't really apply to us, or I can say, hey, this looks really good, or this commentary that this pastor put out there is really, really good. So I'm able to kind of cut my time down in the time that I'm spending in writing curriculum. That's been a really good resource for me that I wish I'd have found day one instead of like year four.
Would have saved you some hours.
Yeah, huh? Absolutely.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so with that intentionality, do you have like an outcome you're hoping to get within your people? I mean, you talked a little bit about them being in community and living out kind of the one another's, but
yeah.
What's your desire to them?
Yeah, I think especially with that of like, as they hear our pastor preach the gospel. So we're doing a series right now that's kind of evangelism centric. And one of our five priorities in the church is invite. And so the sermon series is As You Go. And so we're looking at different interactions Jesus had with somebody. And so this upcoming week is the woman who was bleeding for 12 years and wrestled through the crowd just to touch him to find healing. And so it's kind of like, as you go in your desperation, run to Jesus. And so my hope is that there's transparency and authenticity within those small groups that's like, this is what our pastor, this is the vision that was cast. Here's the message that was put out there. Here's how it's applied to me. And now we can also talk about application and how am I going to be a good neighbor? How am I going to be a good citizen? How am I going to be a faithful Christian in living out that? And that only happens through transparency. And so that's the hope, is that they kind of know what they're going to be talking about as they're heading into the small groups. They've heard the sermon. And so they're able to maybe even have a little bit deeper conversations about some of those things.
Awesome.
That's good. I like that. I like how you laid that out. I love the phrase that you said earlier. And if we had more time, we'd dive into it. You said, you can come to our church Sunday morning and you'll learn a lot about us, but it's in a small group that you'll get to be the church.
Yeah.
That one, I was like, oh man, that was solid there. And you, I think you said one of your elders says that. So I like that elder.
Yeah. Me too. It's that whenever I feel like I need defended as a small groups guy, it's like, go talk to Rick. Rick's got it down for me.
All right. Go Love Rick. It. Go Rick. How do you train small group leaders and teachers? Group Leader Training, a biblical manual for small group leaders and teachers in the local church, is a holistic, 5-session training based on Acts 2, 42 through 47 that trains group leaders to deepen community, encourage growth, mobilize group members to service and sharing of their faith with unbelievers. Course videos, belief assessments, and more resources are provided online with special access through the workbook. 50% off bulk orders is available exclusively on our website. To learn more, go to buildgroups.net/coming soon. Now, I want to kind of zoom in here a little bit more at a personal level for you, Stephen, as the associate pastor who's overseeing the groups and all these things and other staff with helping train and develop them. What does your personal involvement in belonging to a group in the church look like? And then what can that look like for other staff and pastors at other churches?
Yeah, and it's challenging because there's different contexts. There's, as a pastor, it's hard to be involved sometimes in a Sunday morning group. So if your church doesn't provide anything outside and you're being torn all different ways, and yeah, it's challenging and it's different in all different contexts. But if you get to a place where like you understand the benefit of it and the community that can come through it, it's imperative. And so actually right now, actually lead a Connect group. And that's one of the things that I've found really, before I can go up to my Connect group leaders and to say, like, I actually walk your shoes on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Like I lead as well. And mine's a little bit different. So I help lead our young adult, Connect group on Sunday morning. And so part of that is like my itch, like I'm always going to be a student pastor at heart. And so pouring into the generation before me, and my wife does that as well. And so that's kind of a ministry passion of mine, but I get to talk about like, here's the things we face. It was really hard for me to take attendance this week because we had so many new guests, or I couldn't get to this question. And so it allows me to relate a lot with my small group leaders, because I can say, the things that I'm telling you to work on, I'm actually working on, and I'm having trouble with it as well. And so I think that's been one of the bigger benefits of being involved in a small group.
That's a good word. Yeah, being able to relate to your leaders, because you're not just giving them or barking orders from the ivory tower of the group's administrative structure world, but you are actually on the front lines and saying, hey, look, this is the way, and they get to follow you and they see more of your back than your face because like you're leading the way, right? That's huge. So
yeah. I was going to say also, it's like a big part where I get fed is our men's ministry and the small group ministry that's through our men's ministry. And so I don't lead any of that. I get to go in and these guys just really pour into me, invest in me. So knowing that I needed that aspect as well, not just pouring out, but being poured back into. And so finding a way for that to exist as well. And that can happen in our context, it's men's ministry. There's so many resources for pastors to be able to be fed into and to be poured into. You know, that can be a lot of different things, but that's worked out well for me as well.
Good. Yeah, it's so easy to jump into doing and not be a recipient of the benefits of group and just be a conduit that watches all of it pass by and not receive. So I love that. That's so wise. I think that you have that and you get that. That's good for your soul and the longevity, right? As you said, you're no longer the younger guy now, right? So you're trying to help those younger ones to have longevity.
It's really fun. Also, like all these Connect groups that we have, like we have like 22 of them now, like they invite us to their fellowship. So me and my wife get to go to all the parties and stuff too. So we get to eat good and have fun with them and fellowship too. So
man, praise the Lord for good fellowship and food. There you go.
That's right.
Yeah. So a couple quick hitter questions for you. Baseball, right? Quick hitter. So 60 seconds or less, just kind of fly through these ones. What is one area you think your group's ministry is strong in? What's one area you think that they are weak in?
Yeah, I think getting guests plugged in quickly, somebody that's visiting their group, they've been really good at retaining who pops in, especially our Sunday morning groups. That can be hard because we're just like, hey, this person showed up and wants to try your group. So you have no real forewarning, but they do a really good job of retaining the people that once they get into a small group, they're retained really well. Our biggest struggle is multiplying. And so we have a multiplication model once a group gets so large, we take a co-leader that's involved there, and we take some people and we try to multiply. It's just hard on everybody. There's a lot of pain. So what we say is we acknowledge the pain and difficulty that comes with multiplying, but we're going to deny the fear because Satan wants us not to multiply. He doesn't want us to reach more people. And so like we'll acknowledge the pain, but we're going to deny the fear. But it's hard. It's the most challenging thing we have.
Acknowledge the pain. Yeah, but deny the fear. That's a good line there. I like that. Man,
Steve, I like to also like the acknowledging the pain, man. You're literally asking typically their best friend to go lead a group.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's usually the guy or gal in that group that are like most committed, they know the best. And you're saying, hey, you should go start a group. Like it is difficult, but man, it's a beautiful thing when you see it take place.
Yeah, it is.
There's nothing better with grow.
Where do you find new volunteers and leaders? Build Groups offers a one-time 2-hour discover exercise virtually or in person with your church staff and team, and help you build a long list of potential new volunteers and leaders you can invite and onboard into a training process to deploy them into the specific ministry area that they are called to. We've helped churches build a list of nearly 400 names. If you would like to do the same and not feel the pinch and pains of volunteer holes every week, go to buildgroups.net/CI, select Discover Exercise, submit the form, and we'll fill your ministry bench.
So another question for you. We have the title of the podcast is Build Group Podcast. So like what is one way you would encourage a church and their leadership of like, man, this is here's a way to build groups.
Yeah.
Here's how to build groups.
I think make it a priority. Like your groups has to be a priority within your church. Because if you don't, you're going to have a back door. And that's what we saw in our church when it wasn't like you can have groups. But if you're not making them a priority, you're not going to see kind of the growth areas that the Lord really wants for you as a church. And once we made our small groups a priority, we started to see our church grow spiritually. We started to see our church grow numerically. We started to see our church grow and even just our finances grow. And so like all these like specific growth areas and just even involvement and having volunteers spread out throughout the church, like all of that kind of that those healthy grow areas kind of exist with a healthy small group ministry that no other ministry in the church can kind of produce those results. And again, I think it goes back to that's when we be the church, those are the things that tend to happen. And so I would say just encourage, like, make it a priority. Like it has to be one of your major things. I know Sunday's coming. And I know you got to preach a sermon, and I know you got to get the worship team ready, but you have to elevate small groups to the same level of getting ready as Sunday morning.
Great. That's great. So we love group life, all three of us, right? One of the things that I love, man, is testimonies and stories at churches and in groups of just life change. And so can you share just a story from your group ministry and how life change has happened?
Yeah, it's been really neat. Like one of the major overflows that we've seen from our group ministry is launching a recovery ministry, launching a marriage ministry. And, one of my goals with this is that you get to see people's ministry passions and the door of the church gets as wide as possible. And so it gets messy. And so we go through our recovery ministry and I'm helping a few guys in their mentorship in that process. And just to hear what God has saved them from and their desire to be a faithful servant and this brokenness that's holding them back. And all of that has come from like transparency through community. And then another big one, we just launched a new Connect group that meets on Sunday mornings. That's for parents, families that have special needs children. And a lot of the families that I've talked to is like, we've had to watch from home. We don't feel like we're welcome. There's not resources there. There's not community there for us. And it doesn't necessarily even just have to be that specific, but to be able to have community that's for everybody, that anybody that walks into your church can find a place, can find community. We haven't arrived with that, but one of the biggest testimonies is just seeing some families that feel very isolated all of a sudden have community because of small group. And that's where church happens. And that's been a really neat testimony for me recently.
Beautiful, man. Thanks.
Man, that's good. Yeah. The life stories, you know, at the end of the day, right, we can structure, we can strategize, we can, you know, talk shop, we can do best practices, we can, you know, all these different things, right? And even, you know, talking about the numbers at the beginning and the metrics that give you context to help apply principles properly into your ministry, group ministry context of your church. Man, at the end of the day, like everything that this is driving to is that, what you just shared with us, Stephen. And like, you know, I tell people I'm addicted to stories of life change. And, you know, so we'd spend the whole time just doing this if we could. But there's a lot of pieces that help pave the way to get people to that place where we get to see and hear and share those stories of life change. So, man, thank you for sharing that. And so, audience and listeners, that is all that we have time for today. Stephen, thank you so much for coming on and joining
thank
us
you guys.
On the podcast.
Appreciate it. It was a joy. Thank you all so much,
Stephen.
Yeah, absolutely. This was solid, man. There were so many great, like I was just kind of writing down like, man, there's so many great one-liners that I'm taking away from this just for myself. And so I know the audience, you guys are going to get some of that also. And if you guys want to continue to have some conversation about that or dig into that more, man, give us a listen. You can check us out on the website, buildgroups.net. And if you want to get connected with Stephen, he's at Gateway Community Church in Wiley, Texas, as the associate pastor. So, Matt, any closing thoughts for us that you've got there?
No, man. Thanks, Stephen, for all you do, man. I love your passion for people and groups and everything you're doing there at Gateway.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on.
Certainly. All right. Well, thank you for listening to the Build Groups podcast. My name's Adam Ehrlichman, your host. We are signing off. Y'all have a great day.